and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network. Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom.
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Show now!
Am I the prettiest?
Show now!
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Show now!
Well, who am I?
Show now!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Today we got a couple of special guests with us, but sitting in with us for the whole show is going to be our friend Cameron. Say hi, Cam.
Hello.
He's going to be giving us some info later about E3. He covered all things E3 this year, so he's got all the info for us. We'll be getting that later on in the show. But first thing, Don, Kylan, what have you guys been up to this week?
Well, we did, you and I were on the Tangent Bound show.
Oh, yeah, we actually joined Mark, because Jim wasn't there. He was hashtag Jimless. He was happened to be on vacation this week. So Mark at Tangent Bound Network, or the Tangent Bound Podcast, had Kylan and I on for his show for this week. That was actually episode 105.
Right.
So it was a good time.
It was a good time. Yesterday was our anniversary.
Yep.
Happy anniversary, guys.
Yeah, 15
How long?
Years.
15 years.
Yep.
Wow.
Whoa.
So, we were supposed to go to Cedar Point, but anyone who's in the Northeast Ohio area knows that it's been pouring rain for days and weeks, and we're building arcs at this point. So we didn't go to Cedar Point, but instead we went up to Dave & Buster's. And we had fun. I mean, we just still wanted to have some fun and play some games and stuff. And we got to try the new Star Wars Battle Pod.
Yeah, how was that? That's supposed to be a great game. In case anybody doesn't know, tell them what it is and then tell them what it was like to play.
Well, a few shows ago we mentioned it.
Yeah.
It's basically an immersive video game experience. You literally do step into a pod. The door closes behind you and you're in this kind of controller seat, and you've got two controls in front of you. One is a throttle, and then the other one has all your lasers and guns
and
all the fun stuff.
Special weapons.
And it's a complete surround screen, like from probably where your knees are to above your head and from far left and right. And
so it's like a 180-degree display.
Pretty much, yeah. And it's slightly curved, so it definitely covers everything. And you have a choice of different missions you can play. And obviously they're from easy through hard.
The Battle of Yavin, the Battle of Hoth, the Battle of Endor, and one that's called, Vader's Revenge.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Did you see anybody play that one?
I didn't play Vader's Revenge, so I have no idea. That was the most
difficult. I did whatever the easy one was.
Probably Yavin.
Yavin,
that's
yeah.
what I do. And I just had fun flying around and shooting all the X-Wings, and I did shoot Vader. I destroyed Vader.
Awesome.
And I destroyed the Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I was happy.
So, this could be an expensive game. One, it's a Dave & Buster's.
Uh-huh.
Two, it's a pretty big arcade cabinet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long do you actually get to play for the one credit?
It's a good few minutes long, like five.
Was it worth the money?
For the experience, I think it was, but I think we were talking about this afterwards. It's not a level up kind of game. Like, you get your mission and you're done.
So you play through the whole mission?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
You play the
cool.
whole mission. So, but, 5-6 minutes, whatever it was, and you pay, is it 15 or 16 credits?
15 credits.
Yeah. Awesome. And I mean, some of the higher end older games are about 8 or 9 credits at Dave & Buster's.
Okay.
So it's expected to be more anyway.
Yeah.
But, I think it was worth it at least to try a couple times.
Right.
But yeah, it's not a level up, so you don't really... It's not like some of the other shoot-'em-up games where you get to keep going as long as you keep leveling up sort of thing. But maybe they'll do that eventually.
Yeah.
But at least you do get the full mission, though.
True.
Okay.
So...
So was it a good time overall?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
What would
was.
You give it a rating on, like, a grade?
Because
you guys were Dave & Buster's. They have all kinds of games. So what, how would you rank it compared to the other games
I'm not one to play a lot of the kind of flight shooting games anyway. I go for more of the actual, what is it, like, Ghost Squad and House of Zombies and all that. Like
the shooter games.
Give me the gun and I'll shoot something. I'd probably give it, like, an 8 out of 10. For value, I don't think it would get an 8 out of... Value, I'd give it maybe 6.5 to 7.
Okay.
But for overall gameplay and fun, 8 out of 10.
I would say for anybody that played the old X-Wing game or the X-Wing versus TIE Fighter PC games...
Okay.
This is right up your alley.
How about, like, the... Star Wars trilogy game, arcade game.
Yeah, if you played that one, it's like that version, that game on steroids.
Oh, wow.
I think if you're into Star Wars, you're just going to love it anyway. Yeah. I mean, come on.
I would say for the experience itself, for me, definitely an A. For value, compared to the other games that were there, for value, I would give it B.
Okay.
For value.
But it's not surprising that it's
right, exactly.
more than others at the
yeah.
moment.
Yeah, because they have other property games there, like Terminator, and there's a Batman game.
You played that other pod that was on the other side?
On the other side.
Was it the same price?
Yeah, same price.
So because it's basically because it's new, because the BattlePod thing is new.
Okay.
Right, really yeah, and because the game on the other side was just an air combat game,
more
but same
type of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, still same format, just that you're in a fighter jet as opposed to, you know, a... Yeah.
Like, I think the controls were good. Like, when you moved the throttle and stuff, you definitely were going faster.
Yes.
When you moved the joystick, you were definitely tilting. Like, I was flipping upside down all the time because I couldn't control myself.
And you had to be careful because if you got too close... And, like, if you were going to destroy what you were coming up to... If it blew up...
You actually
up,
got affected by the explosion.
You got affected by it because the shrapnel...
Oh, okay.
And so there were real physics and real, you know, combat hazards involved.
Cool.
And I like that, too. So it's not like you can keep it 100 the whole time. You had to know when to pull back on the throttle so that if you're using your cannons, you know, you can still use your cannons and not worry about getting shrapnel when the thing blows up. So.
Okay. Well, final say, would you play it again? Or will you play it again?
Heck yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, Vicky and I actually went to an arcade yesterday also. Andy Hopps, Andy will be joining us later to tell us about Origins, but Andy Hopps' daughter, Ileana, had a birthday this week, so happy birthday, Ily.
Happy birthday.
But
birthday.
We went down to the North Canton Skate Center, which started out as a roller skating rink, but they've added on this entertainment center to the side of it that has rock climbing walls, a Euro bungee, and laser tag, and it's one of those just all-inclusive type places where, and it was like, what, $12 for 2 hours? And you could do everything, except the arcade was you had to pay extra.
Okay.
But they had bumper cars there, which actually looked... Have you ever seen bumper boats? The round bumper boats? That's what this was, and you had basically two control sticks. And you do it kind of like you... have you ever seen like the tank tape things where you control... Each stick controls one side?
Yeah.
That's what this was.
Oh.
So as you push forward and back on the sticks, you can actually spin it and however you wanted to do it.
Okay, cool.
But Vicky and I actually played a lot of laser tag. So, Vicky, what did you think of the laser tag?
As a first-person shooter, no.
Gotta talk louder.
I did not like it. They were Telzons. There was even a gun.
Yeah, it was basically... it was similar. If anybody's ever... Laser Quest is one that's all over the country, pretty much.
Right.
If you've ever seen a Laser Quest, it's kind of cool. You got the vest with a zapper attached to it.
Okay.
Well, the gun was basically... It was like a price gun from a store. So you know how they shoot the laser out of the front of a price gun? Well, most people don't know what it's called. They shoot a laser out and it reads barcode. Well, this just shoots a one beam laser out of it.
Okay.
And you'd shoot the other targets, and it basically would keep track of your score. But it wasn't like in Laser Quest. If when you look at the back of your gun, when you get zapped, you can look and see who shot you and what place you are and all that stuff.
Right.
This, it just had on or off, and it had a timer on the back of it. And the way they ran it was a continuous session no matter what. So you just picked up your vest, and you got 5 minutes on the timer, and you go in and start shooting people.
What?
20 minutes.
Okay. But, yeah, you go in and start shooting people, and then when your time's up, you step back out. And then if you want, you click in, you go right back in.
Okay.
So it was a different setup than it was before. It was fun. Mm-hmm. When they turned on the smoke, you could actually see the lasers. That was kind of cool.
Right.
Oh, nice.
But I know... the arcade there, they had a large arcade, but there's only like two games that were not ticket games.
Oh.
Everything else was ticket games.
Oh.
And it was made for kids, so a lot of the prizes were kid stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's fine. But so we were able to give Illy some extra tokens or some extra tickets and things.
Right.
But some of the skill games were actually interesting. They had a Plinko type machine,
mm-hmm.
but it was like a tennis or bigger than a tennis ball. It was like a softball sized ball dropping down this giant Plinko board. That one was kind of cool.
What about the touch
screen? Hi, Miss
Illy. Dad told me to bring down some headphones.
Okay.
The touch screen.
Huh? Yeah. The other one was actually a touch screen game where you could see through the screen, but the actual game was projected on the front of the cabinet.
Glass.
On the glass.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you actually took these little... You had, like, a world behind you, or, like, a sun. Mm-hmm. And you had these little monsters. They remind me of Nerds. You know the characters from Nerds Candy?
Yeah.
Then mm-hmm. You'd flick them, and they'd fly up and hit the sun. And every time it hit, it covered a certain part of it. And the percentage of the sun you covered was how many tickets you get.
Okay.
The higher percentage, the more tickets you would earn.
Right.
So Vicky played a bunch of that one.
Cool.
So it was a fun time. It wasn't Dave and Buster's, because someone didn't invite us.
Someone doesn't invite people to their anniversary.
Hi, Andy.
Things.
Well, hello.
You coming to join us?
I am coming to join you.
Okay. Hang on just a second, guys. Here, well, this one's actually plugged in if you want.
Sweet.
If you would like to have a seat. We're actually just talking about what we're doing. Cameron, you see on the camera, this is Andy. Andy Cameron's in the
what's up, Cameron?
In there.
Hi, Andy.
Hello, Cameron.
So, that was what we've been doing. Now, actually, we have some sad news a little bit. Everybody who's, if you listen to our show, if there's a... You have an actual volume control here for yours.
It's really echoey.
Yeah, well, it's going to.
Which one, my two or three?
You're number two. So, but, yeah, we have some sad news. Everybody who's listened to the show, a couple shows ago, we had Caitlin and Sean from the FACA Academy, Falcon Academy of Creative Arts. Well, the decision's been made on their show, or on their
school.
They're going to have to shut down. They didn't get their funding. They're basically run out of time to get everything going for next year.
And it has nothing to do with the quality of their programs or anything. It completely came down to the board deciding that they weren't going to pursue it.
Yeah,
so it's really kind of sad that's going away.
But anybody who's interested, there's
most.
Yeah. The good thing out of this is, especially like with our show and other places, we've brought awareness that, hey, there are schools like this out there in your area. If you're not in Akron, but if you're in somewhere else that your kids are having problems, some of these charter schools have a different way of teaching that might do better for you. So, and even if you don't have kids, most of these schools could use your help. Maybe they could use supplies. Everybody could use money. That's just the way it is. The way the schools are funded is not always the best. So, but they could use time. Most schools, even public schools now, use volunteers. There's a lot of grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads that are actually helping out at school.
Especially for things like art programs and sports and music. They definitely need people for that.
Exactly. So do some research out there and get involved to help out the kids, because the better we get the better we educate our kids as they're going, the better our future is going to be, because these are the guys that are going to be running the country someday.
Right.
So let's move on to some more fun stuff. Dawn, you had a whole list of news and stuff to go through.
Okay, do we want to start with the rumors or the not rumors?
We'll go with the stuff we know for a fact to start with.
Things we know for a fact already. Okay. A few of these are just quickies. It's been confirmed there will be two end credit scenes for Ant-Man.
Okay.
And I know we always expect that of Marvel movies, and we kind of missed it the last time when they didn't have another end credit. And Wolverine will appear in X-Men Apocalypse. We found out that Secret Warriors are going to be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And Kylan knows who Secret Warriors
are. Is that,
can you give us
is that Quake's team?
Yeah, that is Quake's team that In the season finale for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we saw the setup because Agent Coulson gives Daisy, or Sky, the folder and told her that she has work to do. And so in the comics, it's actually Nick Fury who sets up the team. But basically, it's all roads lead to Rome in this case. That's what we're going to see.
So is Secret Warriors like all Inhumans?
Who are they?
They are. They're more or less like super-powered beings, not necessarily
Inhumans. What do you have on the history of Secret Warriors outside of the show? Just who are the Secret Warriors? Because I've never heard of them. I mean, I've heard you talk about it on Mighty Marvel Geeks, but...
Well, because it's a secret.
No one should know.
They're sort of like a mutant... you can't call them that. They're sort of like a strike force. They're sort of like a strike force that S.H.I.E.L.D. uses to... No, for their superpower, when they have issues and they need a little more firepower, as it were.
Is this a newer team, or has it been around for a while?
I would say they've been around for a couple of years. As a matter of fact, I am pulling up...
if you want to know more...
They actually first appeared in 2008.
Yeah,
that explains why I never heard of them.
In Mighty Avengers number 13, and then they were in Secret Invasion number 3.
Right.
And the members were Nick Fury, Daisy Johnson, Yo-Yo Rodriguez.
Who's Yo-Yo Rodriguez?
Is that his
superhero name, or is that just...
And then someone named Jerry Sledge, Eden Fessy.
Some of those may have been mutants at that point for the original version of it.
Right.
Oh, Yo-Yo is someone called Slingshot. The Puerto Rican daughter of Griffin.
Okay.
Who looks like a griffin.
So that's what this is going to be. You said it's just going to be part of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, they're going to... they're figuring heavily in this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but we also have to remember that everything from the end of Age of Ultron on is leading up to Civil War.
Yeah.
You saw bits of that in Age of Ultron. Mm-hmm. So everything is leading up to that, and so I believe that the Secret Warriors is going to have a hand in building up the tension between the powered and non-powered
and I think
conflict.
Secret Warriors really has a better chance of a spin-off than the one that they were talking about with Mockingbird and all
definitely.
That before.
Yeah.
And now, in the animated universe, they kind of hinted at a Secret Warriors team...
They actually did. It was in Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Yes.
They had it because I wikied this.
Wiki knows everything. Anything Google doesn't know, Wiki does.
Led by Nick Fury and consisted of Quake, Black Widow, and Mockingbird.
That's
a good
team.
Girl
power.
You have Mockingbird already on.
That's
Agents
true.
Of
so
S.H.I.E.L.D.
she could end up being part of it.
I think they've done something with Black Widow at some point.
I've heard of her.
Is she in something?
Maybe.
Yeah, but perhaps. They're not allowed to make toys of her.
Maybe she's part of the Spider-Verse? I don't know.
It's possible.
They get in trouble if they make toys of her, though.
Yeah, they can't make toys of Black Widow.
You know, if I can diverge for just a second
Go
on
ahead.
That front. Have you guys seen the new line of Marvel toys, the Maidens of Might series?
No.
All-female toys?
No.
All-female bad action figure toys.
Uh-oh, he's getting bleeped!
You are fined one credit for a violation of the verbal morality statute.
Sorry, bad anus action figure toys.
Really?
Yeah.
I was told earlier not to do that.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, I have messed up.
Buns,
yay!
Bad Buns action figure toys.
So,
but no, I saw them yesterday, and there's a Captain Marvel one, and all the...
What's the line called?
Maidens of Might.
Where did you see them?
I saw them at Target and Walmart, actually.
Hmm. Oh, we saw those.
They're the part of the 9-inch line. Like we saw those. Like the Star Wars Black Series. Or like those.
Yeah. Oh, they're probably... Yeah, they're the ones that from the Toy Fair, when they were showing them at the Toy Fair. Right. That's what they call the line. Okay.
But apparently either Marvel is listening to people complaining that there aren't enough female toys.
Well, there was a story that DC's came doing out something earlier similar, this week where Clark Gregg was very verbal about how he thought... Well... I'll be nice. He did not agree with there being no Black Widow mark, no toys, no action figures. He said that needs to happen, that we need to see that. I thought that was cool. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
We're all nodding our heads on our audio recording.
Yeah.
We agree.
And they're from Hasbro, by the way.
Right.
But, yeah, I know DC Comics is working on, for, I think, towards September, they were working on, it's more aimed more towards younger girls, but they have a girl line coming out also, where it's, it's going to be led by, basically going to be Batgirl, Supergirl, and I'm thinking Wonder Girl, maybe? Are going to be the three main ones, but it's going to be basically a line for younger, like, I don't know, 6 to 12-year-old girls. And it's actually going to be a full toy line with comic books and everything else that's geared towards the girls. Mm-hmm. It's what the girls have been asking for, so why not give it to them, see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do we got next on the list, Dawn?
What else did I have?
We have a lot of stuff to get to today.
Oh, yeah, there, just briefly, that when Arrow starts up again in the fall, it's going to be a 5 to 6 month time jump. So we're not going to find out where they were driving to until later.
Okay. Well, that's normal. At the beginning of every season they've done so far, it's like the summer happened. We just weren't there to see it.
Yeah, and it'll be good. That's what they said. It was going to be kind of a real time sort of.
Now, are they going to cover that in the actual Arrow comic books? Because they've been running the Arrow comic for like 2 years now, and it's basically supplemental stories.
I mean, I could see the comic giving you like the background and how they got to whatever stage they're going to be at.
Okay.
You know, in that point. One other thing for people into kind of exclusive figures and collectibles, etc. Barnes & Noble is doing, for all of July, it's kind of having a geek month.
Okay.
It first started because during San Diego Comic-Con, they're going to be releasing some, what they're calling dual exclusives, which are exclusive to Comic-Con and Barnes & Noble. It'll be all kinds of like figures and possibly comics and books and that kind of thing. They're not letting anyone know what those are until Comic-Con time, which is the 9th of July is when it starts.
Okay.
But they're creating, for the entirety of July, it's a geek month where they're having every day is a different kind of fandom.
Is this, you said every day of the month they're going to have like 31 different days.
It's a different thing.
Wow.
And on their website, you can check the whole calendar. But things like on July 3rd, it's Doctor Who Day. July 8th to 12th is DC Comics Days. July 9th is when the Comic-Con collectibles begins. The 17th, they have Minions. On the 18th, it's Star Wars. 19th is Manga Mania. July 24th
only is... Only 1 day for Star Wars? Wait.
There's enough other stuff out there. You only get 1 day. July 24th is Fangirl Friday, which is going to feature a lot of female-led comics and stuff like that.
So, hopefully they'll have, they may have some Her Universe stuff there, too, maybe.
Maybe.
Since Her Universe
they,
kind of been
I don't know
the
that they tend to sell the clothing at Barnes & Noble, though.
Oh, okay.
But, so basically, on those specific days, products related to that fandom are going to be at a discount. You'll also get special giveaways. Like, if you buy, say, a Doctor Who whatever on July 3rd, you also get a Doctor Who keychain for free or something like that.
Okay.
So, but some of the stuff is already on the Barnes & Noble website for what they're doing. Other stuff won't be posted until that day, so it'll be kind of a really kind of line up, go for the fans sort of thing. But I just thought that was interesting that Barnes & Noble's actually making an effort in that way.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll have a Matt Murdock brownie pan?
Maybe.
We need one.
You want one of those?
We need brownies.
Brown eyes.
Brown eyes.
Okay, that's my main news. Do you have anything else, or do you want me to move on to rumors?
Well, let's go ahead. Where we're at here, Andy, let's go ahead and we'll do the... we're going to bring back the Mother Waith updates as we got Mr. Mother Waith himself with us.
What's up, dog?
So what's going on with Mother Waith?
You know what I did today?
What'd you do?
Kylan helped me with it. I finished the cover for Alpha Beast Soup, my new children's
book.
Which means it gets to go to the printer tomorrow.
Yeah!
Woo! Which means it'll be here in like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, Andy, that means it'll be just in time for...
For Gen Con.
For Gen Con.
That's right. And it makes a wonderful Christmas gift.
It does. And or birthday, a back-to-school gift.
That's right. It just makes a, like, you're my friend gift. It's... You know, or an I hate you gift. It's just a perfect gift for any occasion.
Well, I'm glad you're my neighbor.
Yeah. Or I don't like you. But I want to give you a book in case maybe you'll like it and then we'll become friends. I don't know. There you go. Whatever. Well, anyway, so, yeah, that's the most recent development.
Okay. Do we have any new Con of the Cob news?
Heck yeah.
Con of the Cob is coming up in like 4 months.
4 months. You know what we're going to do?
What?
That we just decided yesterday. First of all, in light of the awesome news that we received on Friday... That the entire world is rejoicing about, except for idiots and evil people.
Woo!
We're gonna try and host a wedding at Con on the
Coast.
Oh! I don't know who. Boys and girls, boy and boy, girl and girl, boy and girl. Doesn't matter. Dogs and cats, whatever. We're gonna have a wedding, hopefully. I just have to find, you know, a bride and a groom, or two brides, or two grooms, or whatever. We need to find some participants.
Right.
But in also, in addition to that, some people were like, well, not quite that far along in my relationship to have a wedding. In fact, I don't even have a significant other. So let's have a geek speed dating event.
Sweet.
I like
so
it.
So we're going to have a geek speed dating event at Con on the Cob.
Awesome.
You know.
Huh? They have to be cosplayers?
No, they don't have to be cosplayers.
Why would they have to be cosplayers?
They don't have to be.
Have you ever seen those?
No, we've seen some videos of some of that. That's good stuff, usually.
Like, Andy, does this mean that you get to wear your purple hat with your cane?
Of course.
Oh, right.
Andy's pimping.
Yeah, that's kind of one of my jobs at Con of the
Cob. Yeah, because one of our guests,
we'll tell him in a
minute. You're responsible for him meeting his lady.
That's right.
Yeah,
Jamie Chambers and Nikki, they got together at Con on the Cob. Lots of people get together at Con on the Cob.
And whether they stay together is another story.
That's the thing. Like sometimes it's like the next day people are like, Andy, I love you. Thank you so much for hooking me up with my girlfriend. And then the next year it's like, I hate you. You know, depending on how the relationship goes. But anyway, so we're going to do geek speed dating, trying to find a lovely couple to have their actual wedding. Heather and I renewed our vows at Con on the Cob a few years ago, and that was super fun.
You did?
Yep. Right. So, but man, there's so much to do. We have robot battles. Did we talk about that on the show yet?
I think we've mentioned it once, but yeah, you'll have full size robot battles.
Robot battles.
Oh,
well, not full size. Well, full size.
They're full size robots. They may not be human size, but they're full size for the robot.
Right.
Oh, I'm saying it right here, right now, because let's see. What today's the
28th,
and so we got three more days in a month, something like that.
Two.
All right. 30 days.
There will be a full schedule of the workshops and the
seminars and panels and demos and discussions.
We got one by the 31st.
There is no 31st of June.
That was on the 30th.
That's why I kept saying,
huh?
He's
2 days.
Two days.
Heather's grandpa's birthday on his birth certificate is June 31st.
Oh, my God.
What?
Yep. He was born on probably July 1st, but he's from, you know, West Virginia in the backwoods area.
I just want to laugh at that.
I'm not sure that whoever filled out.
Heather, I'm sorry.
Andy, it's true. His birth certificate says June 31st. So we usually celebrate it July 1st.
Yeah.
Well, in honor of that, on June 31st,
it'll be a full schedule based on what we know so far.
Yes.
Putting that on June 31st, is that like us saying we're the sexiest podcast in Czechoslovakia?
Yes, it is.
Yes. And now, mind you, all that is subject to change because there's a lot of celebrity guests are coming.
We sure do,
and they're going to be doing. They're going
to
be doing workshops
in a good way, though.
Yeah, it'll be changed in a good way. So it'll be an awesome workshop that's going to replace the existential role of Bob Newhart in geek media.
I will say this: you guys are definitely the sexiest podcast currently recording in my basement.
Well, thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's an honor.
Okay, so that's some of the stuff the good stuff we got coming for Con on the Cob. I think at this point, though, we're going to take a break, guys. Then we'll be coming back in just a minute with Andy here again. He's going to tell us all about Origins from 2015. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Pardon the interruption. I have some news which I believe you will find most interesting.
Would you like to hear the latest in Marvel television, film, video games, and comic books? Are you looking for some ideas on what to pick up on New Comic Book Day? Well, join Mike and Eric on Mighty Marvel Geeks every Saturday night on Sorcerer Radio and every Sunday on the Weeby Geeks Network for all things Marvel.
There is a matter that requires your attention.
Mighty Marvel Geeks, assemble!
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Okay, Geeksters, welcome back. We have Andy Hopp here with us. He was at Origins a couple weeks ago. Origins, if anybody doesn't know, Andy, what is Origins?
It's like the beginning, dude.
Well, when it comes to the Origins convention, what's the Origins convention?
It's the Origins Game Fair. It happens every single year in Columbus, Ohio. It used to be elsewhere, but now it's been in Columbus for like the past gazillion years. And it's a really nice big gaming convention that also has other jazz going on. Unfortunately, I don't have that much to report because I was kind of stuck in the exhibit hall the whole time, except for when I was running games and teaching classes. So I guess I wasn't stuck there the whole time, now that I think about it in retrospect.
Well, what classes did you teach?
I taught a class called Drawing from Imagination, a nation. I guess you could add that reverb effect.
I probably could, yes.
Okay, but anyway, it was called Drawing from Imagination, Nation. And it actually turned out really cool. I'm having this weird echo, so I'm going to take my headphones off. What it consisted of was about 16 or 18 students there, and they wanted to know my tips on how to use your imagination to draw. So what we did was we all went around in a circle. It was not really a circle. It was more like a peanut shape because it was two round tables put together. So, like, we went around in a peanut shape, and everybody got to say a feature of creature to put on this beast that we were making.
Okay.
Kylan's laughing again. What's up?
So
the first person would be like... hold on, I gotta show Kylan.
No, that was Andy. No.
I've never seen this picture before. Okay. So anyway, what we did is we'd say like Kylan would say, I want a big, you know, its face looks like a dying horse. And Jessica would say, like, it has tentacles growing out of its ears. And Dawn would say, it has eyes shaped like a cat. And I took that to mean that its eyes were actually shaped like an actual cat, not like the eyes of a cat. So when I drew my picture, it had eyes shaped like cats. It was fun. But anyway, so everyone went around. We listed down all the items that people were going to put on their creature. And then everybody drew their own version of the creature itself. And it was super fun to see like 18 different versions of the same creature. And see, even though we all had the same like raw materials to work with, what everyone came up with. And like everybody's creature was completely different. And this is something we'll do at Con of the Cob this year, too.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It was super fun.
It sounds kind of like what you guys do with like your drink and draw with the artists and stuff.
It's similar to an event we do at Con of the Cob called The Most Horrific Monster.
Okay.
Which is basically that same game. And then, yeah, at Con of the Cob, there's also the drink and draw.
Yeah.
Which turns into the Wretch and Sketch later on in the day. But anyway, Origins was actually super fun this year.
No, not quite. Give it a couple years, Cam.
Oh, sorry. My headphones on. Didn't hear.
He said he's not old enough to get that joke.
Oh, okay.
You'll understand later.
Yeah. Ask your mom. No, I don't mean that in a weird way. I meant she's older than him, so she'd be able to... I mean, I'm assuming his mom is older than him. Most moms are older than their offspring. Origins had... tons of gaming events going on. Lots of the major large game companies are there, including Motherwave Creations.
Woo!
Yeah! Woo! Okay. Yeah. And actually, what was that?
He was cutting out while he was singing, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, but I actually had a ton of new products that released at Origins this year. And the response was very good.
Oh, that's nice. Good.
I was really excited. I released the new Low Life Core rulebook, which is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And I released three decks of cards, like regular playing cards with my art on them. and lots of new art prints and the Low Life figure flats, four different volumes, nice. And the Boss Blocker, and so many things. But anyway, it was a great time. I met lots of really awesome people there. And the only snafus that occurred, snafu, does that stand for something?
Yes, it does.
I know what it says. Well, you're not allowed to say it on your show.
We can't say it. We're like, yes, it does.
Yeah. There were some snafus in the scheduling department where, see, what I did is I was running these three events that were Living Low, which is the Low Life Living campaign, see, where you're supposed to make a character, bring it to the game, then your character gets experience and rewards and such, and then you take it to the next game with the same character, and your character advances throughout the whole jazz. But what happened was, whoever was in charge of making the program book clipped out that little tidbit of my description of the events. So no one knew they were supposed to make characters.
Oh.
So we just end up playing with old characters that I happen to have with me. It was still fun. We had a good time. But that was the first game. The second game, they switched the time on from 6 p.m. to 2 p.m.
Oh!
And they listed it as on the website, but it wasn't in the book. And I got an email saying that it was there and everything was happening, and then no one signed up for it because it wasn't in the book.
Oh,
and then my third game, they had listed as sold out, but it actually only sold one ticket, so nobody else could buy tickets for it. So one guy showed up to play, and then this other random guy that wanted to get in with a generic ticket, and we played for like half an hour and realized it just wasn't working with just three of us.
So with the tickets, did he have to pay to play games at Origins?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Unlike Con on the Cob, I might point out. Most of the larger conventions, you have to pay to get into the con, and then you have to pay per game. Mm-hmm. Which I don't like that.
Yeah.
But it's the way it is. And I don't dislike it enough to, like, you know, campaign against it or make it my life struggle.
So how many people in general do we have at Origins every year? Approximately.
I think they have around 20,000 or so. Every year they say it's record numbers, which it probably is. But they've kind of gone to a new format where there are tournaments that occur for one day. And people will come, like, just for those tournaments, play the tournament, and then leave. So they don't really participate in, like, going to the vendor room or anything like that.
Okay.
But they still count toward the total number of people there.
Oh.
So I heard that the numbers are around 22,000 this year, which is pretty good.
It's been a few years since I've gone, so I was wondering how it was different.
Yeah, one thing they've done is they moved more toward, like, the European style of doing conventions, wherein a lot of the larger game companies will be set up in the actual gaming rooms rather than in the vendor hall.
Mm-hmm.
So they can run their tournaments, like, at their booth, which is great for them, but it's not so great for the rest of the vendor hall because the people that are coming for those reasons don't really go to the rest of the vendor hall.
And so they're not walking past all the stuff that they could potentially be buying.
Exactly. But, I mean, it was still pretty good. I did pretty well this year.
Good.
And I'm happy with what happened, except for the snafu that we mentioned with the gaming scheduling.
So, since you were there, was there any major debuts or did anybody bring anything that was, like, fantastically awesome?
Well, the new Low Life book came out.
Well, we covered all that. Did any other companies bring any major games that looked fantastically awesome?
I'm fairly certain they did.
Could anyone compete?
Anything
that
you saw.
Well, no, I'll tell you a couple that I did see. I honestly was stuck in my booth, like, 8 hours a day. I really didn't get to see much of the vendor hall. But I did see a few games that were super cool. I'm trying to remember what this one is called, because it was really cool, and I can't remember what it's called.
Oh.
But I have a copy of it in the other room. I could go check. But then I have to leave the table, and then someone else would have to get a word in edgewise.
I can't have that.
Anyway, there were some really cool games. I'll think of the name during the conversation, and then it'll hit me. I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's it. But I met some really awesome people. I'm not going to say all their names, because that would be silly. But
although there is one big one, though, you said was across the aisle from you. That one you can tell us about.
Sure. My man Timothy Zahn was there, the author of many Star Wars novels and various other novels. He wrote the Admiral Thrawn trilogy and stuff. He was a cool guy. We got to hang out for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I saved his butt. You know, I'll tell you about the time I saved Timothy Zahn from a bullet back in Nam, but the time I saved him from not having anywhere to display his books was more interesting. I let him borrow some of my racks so he could put his books on them.
Cool.
I know. There's a brush with greatness. But no, he was a really cool guy. And
Timothy Zahn touched your racks.
He did.
That's where my mind went to. Yeah.
I know. Timothy Zahn complimented me on my rack. That was pretty cool. He's a nice guy. And I also met Michael Stackpole, another Star Wars author.
You met Michael Stackpole? You didn't tell me that.
Dude, we're friends. We go way back.
the author of the X-Wing series.
That's the man you're talking about. But he wouldn't tell me what the giant panda costume was for. That's an inside story. But
okay.
Just imagine there was a giant panda costume, and he wouldn't tell me what it was for.
Wow.
So what other celebrity So you always come back with these great celebrity stories from Origins, because you told us other ones at breakfast with different people. Who else did you meet this year? Even if not at the con, just while you were down there. Anybody else? Now he draws a blank.
Oh, no.
You can't
get
it.
I meet a lot of people. I don't pay attention to whether or not they're famous, you know.
That's because no one's more famous than Eddie Hopp.
Oh, sure. who did I meet this year? I don't know. Like I said, I feel bad that I don't have much of a story to tell because I was stuck in my booth the whole time. In a good way, because I was selling stuff.
Right.
I got to sign lots of books. I wrote in Timothy Zahn's book. I gave him a book because he's a cool guy. He gave me a book. He gave me a copy of Scoundrels.
Cool.
Which is his new Star Wars book.
Yeah, I did want to get that. I haven't picked it up yet.
It's like Ocean's 11 with Star Wars characters, basically.
See?
It's pretty good.
Unfortunately, it's still one of the Legends books now.
Yeah, but
it don't matter. It's still a good story.
And really, the story is a complete standalone thing. It doesn't really involve any of the other stuff from Star Wars, except that it includes Han and Chewie in it.
Does it have Mara Jade in it?
No. And actually, the only other character I recognized is Winter.
Okay.
And she's in it, but...
Lando's not in it?
No, there's no Lando.
That sucks.
Except that Lando's in it.
Yeah.
Pretty extensively. Yeah, definitely Lando's in it. But it takes place between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, okay.
So part of it in there, I mean, this is kind of evolving into a book review that none of you have read yet. But one thing I found kind of interesting about it is it does have Lando in it. It has Han and Chewie in it. It's referenced several times that Lando is kind of miffed at Han for various things, for something that happened in a previous heist that they did or previous something they did.
Mm-hmm.
The transition between this and Empire Strikes Back, in Empire, you get the sense that when Han and Lando meet again, they hadn't seen each other in a really long time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In this, I don't know the time frame, but it takes place between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, which is 3 years or something?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, that's why it's kind of just read it outside of the whole continuity and enjoy it for itself. Because realistically, the story could have been told with any characters. It didn't have to be Han and Lando. It was fun that it was, but it was almost like they had an idea for a science fiction heist story, and then they figured, well, let's make this character Han and this character Lando, which was still read well, and it was fun to read, but it wasn't necessarily super Star Wars-y.
Okay.
In fact, because it didn't involve, and this isn't meant to be a spoiler, but it's a spoiler, it does not involve a brand new super weapon that's going to destroy everybody unless they destroy it first.
And they did it wrong.
85% of the other Star Wars novels I've ever read.
Well, luckily the new stuff that's come out since New Dawn, the last couple don't involve super weapons either.
That's good. That's good to know. I noticed that the Lando Calrissian and the Mind Harp of Sharu only kind of partially involves a giant super weapon. I finished reading that yesterday on the toilet. Yeah, and I started reading Lando Calrissian and the Flame Winds of Ocean.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't gotten far enough to determine if that involves a super weapon.
Let us know when you get that part, yeah.
When you think about it, the Rebellion really missed an opportunity when all they should have done was go for the Empire's pocket. If you went for the pocketbook,
do that?
Yeah, how would you go through the whole Empire's pocketbook?
That's easy. All you have to do is start counterfeiting the money. If you counterfeit all the money, you make fake credit, it drives down the value of the legitimate money, and then eventually, boom, you have inflation, and then social turmoil.
But then you don't get all the space battles and things blowing up, so be quiet.
Nerd.
Yeah. Seriously. Go back back to your dead horse. Here's something interesting that happened at Origins. I'm hoping I can think of something before anyone says no, obviously, Origins is a fun convention. I enjoyed it. Oh, we were passing out Con the Cob flyers to people.
Okay.
Cool. Ooh. And one of the people that I wasn't aware was doing this put some of our flyers on a table that belonged to somebody else.
Whoops.
Ooh, and there was... I heard the word... What words am I allowed to say on this? Am I allowed to say urinated off?
Yeah. They were very upset.
Oh, man. Yeah, someone was really mad.
Did you sell any advance tickets?
We did, yes. We sold advance booths to Oddmall.
Nice.
And we sold advance tickets to Con on the Cob. We had a deal going on wherein if you buy your Con on the Cob registration badge for only $40, you got a free t-shirt.
I should do that. Except for
you work there.
I know.
You already get a free t-shirt.
We get a free special t-shirt.
Yeah. Yes. But, anyway, so it was actually, it was Mayfair. You know, the guys who make Settlers of Catan and stuff. They were mad at me.
Oh, no, I don't want
to. And I'm like, but I didn't do anything. So I went
to
apologize.
They love you.
I didn't get to interact with them directly. So somebody who was just handing out flyers for me and was not, like, they didn't realize they weren't supposed to put them on the gaming tables that were reserved for tournaments. They put them there anyway. And I didn't get in trouble, but I heard through the grapevine that someone was really mad at me. So I went and apologized, and everything was cool because, you know, I got the diplomacy skill.
Yeah,
that's what you do.
But, yeah, it's all good now, and we're friends, but it was kind of tense for a while there.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
But you rolled a 20.
I did.
Okay, so, Andy, to wrap this up for Origins, you had a good time? It was in generally a good time. After everything you just said, you had no time to do anything. Overall, it looked like most people had a good time.
Yes.
Is that a better way? Is that a better way to word it?
No, I mean, there were lots of other stuff, too, but if you want to cut me short so I can't talk about it.
Well, we have two other conventions to get to on this show.
Two others?
Yeah.
I know, what, Colossal Con and what's the other one?
We're going to check out. We're going to take a trip to E3.
Oh my god!
Is that what Cameron's going to talk about?
Yeah,
sweet.
That's what Cameron's here.
I should put these on so I can hear if Cameron says anything.
So, Geeksters.
But actually,
I've said like three words the past 20 minutes. Don't feel bad.
It's all good.
This to a close. Yes, Origins was fun. I highly recommend it. It was much better than Cats.
Okay, Geeksters, so we're going to take another break real quick, and we'll get everything set up for Jesse. Well, Jesse and Cameron are both going to let us know about Colossal Con. They were there in from Sandusky, Ohio. So we'll be back in a minute.
Voltron will be back after these messages.
His eardrums were scientifically altered for world peace. His ears are more finely tuned than yours or mine. He can listen to a podcast from a mile away. He is the most dedicated podcast fan in the world. I do not always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I prefer the Tanchebang Network. Keep listening, my friends.
And now, back to Voltron, Defender of the Universe.
And we're back, and we have Cameron here to Cameron and Jesse here with us with news on E3.
Nope. Right now we're talking about Colossal Con.
We're going to E3. So we're saving E3 for later. All right,
yeah,
let's go with Colossal Con.
We've been talking about it for the past 10 minutes. I want to go to E3, but I have not been to E3.
So, well, then you get to tell us all about Colossal Con.
Yes, I do.
And all the news since you were our eyes and ears there.
Yep.
You just found that out.
Found that out, which is kind of funny.
We'll give you the same first question, though.
Yes.
What is Colossal Con?
I think it started out as an anime con, and it's kind of morphed into a cosplay con with anime.
Okay.
So
it's a very good representation of it. There was so many cosplayers.
Oh, yeah. Me included.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a newbie at it, so I don't know if I want to consider myself a cosplayer. I just like to dress up. But there were so many people in costumes, from super elaborate, full armor, looked professionally made, to those of us just like
wearing hoodies and little ear things stuck into our hair to make it look like we were ponies. But it was a lot of fun. I had a great time.
That was my first real big convention, and so many people. It's cool seeing a fandom just all together having fun, celebrating the same, well, not the same thing, but one general thing. It was amazing to see everyone having a good time.
So, how many people would you say were at the convention this year?
That's hard to judge. Because
enough to fill the whole convention hall for 3 days.
Yeah, the hallways were pretty full of people, but it's also attached to Kalahari Water Park.
Right.
So you would get people there who aren't necessarily there for the convention, just there for the water park. So it was really hard to judge how many people were there just for the convention.
Right.
It was a lot of fun. There were people who would cosplay in their bathing suits.
Okay, well, that's...
There's plenty of characters.
I never knew that was a thing. I never knew that was a thing until, like, 3 days before I was going, and one of the people I was staying with, Katie Starr, who happens to be a cosplayer and the cosplayer guest star of honor at Con on the Cob this year, she was telling me about how she had a costume, swimsuit costume that she was doing, and she was having a photo shoot as Squirrel Girl in her bathing suit. And I'm like, I don't have that. I have the generic big flower tank top and my board shorts, and guess I'll go as a tourist. So that was my costume. And I only got to go to the water park once because I was too busy just enjoying being there and seeing all the people. There was just too much to look at for me to, and my focus was so stretched in so many different directions for being there the first time that I felt like I didn't have time to do anything. It's
okay.
Really weird.
Well, Cameron, you said this was the first time you've been to a major convention. What was your impression of it since you'd never been there before?
My mom, when I came back, my mom thought I had ADHD because it was, oh, what's that? Oh, what's that? Oh, what's that? So many things happening all around you. It's just like, I don't know where I want to go. It's hard to describe. I was at one panel for 20 minutes. I left to go to another panel. Then people were selling food, and it's hard to keep track of yourself.
And I
was running.
Excuse me, sorry. I've been to several other really big conventions, and I still was super underprepared for this convention. I felt like I should have done more research and figured out when I wanted to do things before actually getting there.
Yeah, that, from what I've heard from a lot of people with conventions, small or large either, it helps go to the website before you get there. Get a general idea of what's going to be when, so you can actually have a little bit of a game plan. I mean, yeah, it's fun to get there and just look through the book and say, ooh, I want to do that, I want to do that, I want to do that. But doing that, a lot of times, you can miss a lot of things because you just didn't have time to get to it. I mean, you're going to miss stuff anyway. That's the way it works. I mean, any convention from Celebration to Comic-Con to Gen-Con to no matter what the convention is, you're going to miss something.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I'm one who... You know me, I'm a planner, I like to be organized, I have my lists of the lists I need to make, and even with all of that in my background, I still was unprepared for this convention. I think it was partially because there was the water park aspect, and there was just too much to look at. But knowing this, when I go back, I don't know if it'll be next year or the year after, I am going again, I'll have a better sense of what I need to prepare for and really staying focused on what I want to do per day.
So the cosplay that you got to see, was it... Well, okay, now I know you were there as part of a group cosplay from Bob's Burgers.
Yes.
And this morphed from an anime con to now more of a mix of the cosplay. Now, so was there more of a anime cosplay presence, or was it all?
Oh, it was mainly
like across the board.
There were more anime costumes than anything, but I'm just looking at the book now, and there is a cosplay meet and greet schedule with all these different cosplayers and
they even, some of the events are group photo shoots of different fandoms. So every day, and it's open to anyone. You could just show up and it'll be like a Final Fantasy photo shoot. So people spanning from the very first Final Fantasy to the most recently come out one will be dressed up in all their different costumes for a group photo shoot. It was really cool. That was part of the problem. I wanted to go to all the photo shoots and see all the people in their costumes. And there just wasn't time.
Yeah. So, Cameron, did you do any cosplay while you were there?
No. Ken, you know me. No, I cosplayed as a high school student there. Yeah.
Yeah, like, just on Friday, there's My Little Pony, and then Full Metal Alchemist, Beach, Sailor Moon, DC Marvel, Fairy Tail, Homestruck, Final Fantasy, and that's wow. Just the morning of Friday.
Well, I had another question.
And then you turn the page.
What you got? We're looking at this, and I'm telling you guys, like, the booklet itself, if you could imagine a note card. It's about a note card size. It's about, call that, maybe a little under a quarter of an inch thick. Just the photo shoot section alone was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Five pages.
Counting with Kaiwan.
5 pages of
one. Yes. 1 page of book.
Yeah. 2 pages. The whole book itself is like 117 pages, and most of it is the special guests and the cosplay meet and greet and the fan panels, and they even had
like
a game room.
There's a gaming room, a video game room?
Kind of.
Wow.
And I'm a big video gamer.
Yes. Yes, there was.
So what was in the video game room, Cameron? That's your specialty.
Which gaming room, Ken? There were two.
Pachinko? Did you
There
go
was arcades and there was consoles.
Oh, sweet. What was in the arcades?
Mostly games from Japan and like maybe two games from arcades in America, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, a question I had was, Vicky and I went to an anime con, 2 years ago? Over in Elyria, outside of Cleveland. It was called Shimboku Con.
Okay.
And I almost felt like a creepy pedophile for being in there, because it was most of the people we saw running around, they were doing cosplay. It was an anime cosplay, and everybody knows what they dress the people like in anime.
Right.
But they were all like
panties.
12 to 15 years old, running around in their underwear and bras almost. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is. Yeah. Did you have to deal with that too much?
No. These were all, like, full-on costumes from video games, some from anime, some from cartoon TV shows like my group did. Some people were Ghostbusters. I mean, there was just a full gambit, so I never felt too old or pervy.
I know, just like I said, walking through ShimbokuCon, I always described it as, if I didn't have Vicky with me, I felt like I shouldn't have been anywhere near this place.
Yeah, I didn't have that feeling at all at this convention.
Okay. How about you, Cam? Did anything seem kind of pervy or creepy?
He's not going to admit that. He's a teenage
boy.
Yeah,
I can hear you guys again.
Did you cut out for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay.
You really go upstairs and get that Ethernet cord.
Well, while he's getting that, I also wanted to mention they had something called the Symphonic Anime Orchestra, and this is actually just people in the area who happens to play instruments. And on the Facebook for Colossal Con and their webpage, they had, you didn't even have to try out. You just had to say, I play this instrument, and then they would give you a time to show up to practice, and then they would put on a concert of all anime group music.
Cool.
Yeah, I was super upset that I didn't go do that either.
But it was there.
But it was there, and I wanted to see it. One of the other things that I wanted to see but didn't is Tea Time with Deadpool. Missed on. I think that you would love that, because I hear that it's just every year it gets bigger and bigger, because it's just so much fun to go see. It says they bring you the laugh, news, games, hilarious, degenerate shenanigans. Gone. You never expected you would come to love. So put your thumbs, chant and cheer. Put up your thumbs, chant and cheer, and sip on some tea. Pinky extended. So it just
Tea time with Deadpool. Who doesn't want to go do that?
Maybe,
that sounds like fun.
Well, then maybe we can go for one day next year.
Next year.
Well, that's it. Maybe we'll actually take Geek Watch 1. Hey, you back, Cam?
Nope,
not yet.
Well, I'll ask you this.
I'll
ask you this because this is something that we saw at ColossalCon. We're talking about ColossalCon,
right?
At Concoction is something that we've been because we follow a couple of conventions on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
Especially conventions where there's a big cosplay presence. There's this whole cosplay is not consent. Did they have any signs like that anywhere around? Or
For what?
Well,
exactly?
Well, like the general harassment issues they've been facing lately in conventions.
Well, there's several pages of behavior policy and dress codes and stuff like that in mm-hmm. the book. And I'm sure there were signs and stuff
right.
around. I was just so busy looking at the people that I didn't see much on the walls. I mean, and they had two areas. They had a vendor's hall and an artist alley. And I actually spent more of my money in artist alley. And the vendor hall had a lot of anime kind of stuff. You could get so many different kind of mangas and back issues and what else? DVDs and little chibi figures, and
mm-hmm.
there's so much stuff. But I loved the artist alley, even though it was super tiny.
Okay.
They seem to do that at cons. Like, they seem to really cram artists into spaces instead of giving them some room.
And that was the most interesting part about
yeah.
it.
Well, I mean, even, like, when we went to Dragon Con last year, and Dragon Con is huge. We were surprised that the artist... we made it into artist alley, and we're
yeah.
like...
It was hard to find to begin
yeah,
with.
Yeah,
they never seem to make Artist Alley easy to find no matter what con you're at. Like,
right.
unless it's directly connected to the vendors,
mm-hmm.
they really make it difficult. Like, you have to go out of your way sometimes to find the artist.
Oh, yeah, I found it by accident. I was actually looking for the vendors hall, and I stumbled across Artist Alley. And it's like they think because Alley is attached to the name, it needs to actually be like an alley.
Yeah, the dark corner, yeah.
Right, and... But,
well,
though, so
like the
it
one
was...
thing, like, at Concoction, at least... Artist Alley was, like, on the way to the vendor hall. So
right,
you would,
exactly.
Yeah,
you kind of had to pass it.
It was plainly marked,
but
too.
But the other thing at Concoction that I thought was a problem was the author's room. It was in a back corner past the restrooms near nothing else.
I didn't
right.
even know there was one.
See? Exactly.
Yeah, see, yeah it's weird because...
But I think partly that's the layout of that hotel, though.
Yeah, that,
it's a
yeah,
bad
that
layout.
Hotel is not, you know...
But yeah, I think that it just depends on the con, too, though.
Yeah.
You know, usually I think when it comes to cons... You got a three tier thing because you have the at the top is the vendors and then just under
Cameron.
The vendors hall and it depends on the vendors depending on what type of con it is.
Mm-hmm.
Number two will be either Artist Alley or the Writers Hall,
mm-hmm.
wherever they want to call it, and you know that and the Authors Alley and the. Yeah, they're going to switch one and two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you're always going to end up with the vendors being top, and they're going to get the most space. But
well,
I know
I think a lot of times, though, typically the table rates are based on that thing, too, though.
Right.
So, as a vendor, if you're paying more for your space,
you should
want
a
little premium.
Spot.
Yeah.
Right.
Which does make sense, but it's still kind of disappointing that... Because that's why we go to a lot of cons, is just to see the artists and
right.
the writers and meet them and, like, you know, you do my favorite comic and I want to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't have to buy all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the coolest pieces of art I bought was just because we were in the Artist Alley. But it was at a con where everything was in one giant space.
Yeah, that helped.
And so, like, you had the vendors up front, you had... the artist sort of like in the middle, and I bought it was a Snake Eyes versus Darth Maul, because that was about the time that G.I. Joe was coming out,
right.
and Ray Park
played
both this, so it was really, oh my god, this is smooth, so yeah.
All put together, yeah.
Yeah.
So as we're starting to wrap up our coverage here on ColossalCon, Jesse,
mm-hmm.
overall, what was the feel of all the people that were there and stuff? I mean, we've talked a lot about what was going on and all that, but what was your final thoughts on what was it like? You've never been there before.
No, I'd never been there. Mostly, I just felt like part of a big crowd. Like, it wasn't as close-knit a community like it is at Con on the Cob, where you kind of feel like it's a family reunion, but it was still more like a community.
So, so yeah, it wasn't like Con of the Cob, where, because Con of the Cob, I know it's smaller usually, but right. Every time we've been there, it feels like if you're there, even if there's 800 or even if it gets up to 1,000 people, you like know everybody there.
Right.
It's like a big, everybody hanging out.
Yeah, Colossal Con still had like a nice community feel. I never felt uncomfortable or that I was unapproachable or anyone else was unapproachable. But it wasn't like Gen Con where you get really lost in a crowd and you feel very isolated even though you're surrounded by people. So it was a nice in-between convention, I guess.
So we've lost Cameron, so he's not going to be able to give me last thoughts on this. But we'll get him back here in just a minute and cover E3. So you guys will be back in just a minute.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
If you're hearing the sound of my voice, you are listening to a promo. And this promo is to promote Viva La Nerd, the podcast that has the entire nation talking about how awesome it is.
Dun, dun, dun.
This is a podcast that is very funny, and you must listen to it.
That is taking over the nation like the zombie outbreak.
Don't forget to listen to Viva La Nerd
on iTunes, Stitcher, and VivaLaNerd.org.
Hey, Geeksters, and we're back. We're here with Cameron, who has some information for us coming out of E3. So, Cameron, you're a big gamer, right?
Yeah, you could say that.
And
he's 19, of course he's a gamer.
And so, give us the good stuff. Tell us what you know about E3.
Well, I know this one was one for the record books because we got confirmation The Last Guardian has risen from the dead. Assassin's Creed will not be broken on day one like the last two were. Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming back, and Xbox One is now backwards compatible. If you have the Xbox preview thing, it'll be available for everyone this holiday season.
Ah, sweet.
And then Nintendo's off in the corner trying to do something.
So let's get this Xbox, because it's going to affect like Vicky and I a lot, because we have a 360, we don't have an Xbox One. Mm-hmm. Now, are all their games backwards compatible, or is it just certain ones, or what?
For right now, it's just certain ones. There's like 10 to 20 games certain people can get right now, but holiday fall, it'd be a few hundred, then past that, they're just going to keep rolling them out until they're done with the Xbox 360 library.
Now that's awesome. So is that just the games you have physically, or is that your digital games you have on your hard drive too?
That is your digital games as well, because you can't buy the two games me and my cousin have, and we woke up and they were just there. We didn't do anything for them. It was like, oh,
it's Christmas all over.
Thank you, Sony. Thank you, Microsoft. That was nice.
Yeah, maybe it is time to trade in. No, wait, I can't trade in the Xbox, though. I have the R2-D2 Xbox. I can't get rid of it.
Mine
don't hang on to that forever.
So I scrapped mine. I just haven't.
So what else was going on out of E3? What caught your eye, Cameron? At this point, a lot of people have already seen the news stories, but what were some of the huge ones that caught your eye that you're really interested in, Cameron?
As far as Microsoft, I'm really looking forward to their indie games like Cuphead and what was the other one? There were two that would just really caught my eye, because Cuphead, it looks like a cartoon from your time, Ken. No offense. But it plays like games that are newer to my generation, so it's a mix of old and new, and it looks amazing. It's got all the beautiful animation. It's got Mario-esque platforming, and I'm really looking forward to playing it.
Now, is that out yet, or is that coming soon?
It's coming soon. They're working on the very tail end of the game, and then they have to port it for the new 360, not 360, the new Xbox One controller that is coming out relatively soon as well.
Now, what's the difference on the new controller?
Hairpin triggers, paddles for the back that can be remapped for your A, Y, X, and B, and the D-pad is interchangeable. If you don't like the current D-pad, you can just switch it out for one that makes your first-person shooting games and fighting games a little more easier to handle on your thumbs.
Awesome.
But the drawback is it's $150 for one controller. So.
Oh, that's what I heard. Yeah, I heard about that, but I didn't know what the chain difference was for it.
Just, you can swap out things, that's about it.
That's cool. So did Sony actually... I heard Sony basically lost this E3, but did they put out anything, any information at all?
Sony is in the middle. It was really Square Enix that won because their games are making the return, but Sony announced them. But Sony made the big mistake of saying they're coming to PS4 first. So that means they're going to be on the PS4, and then Microsoft's going to get them.
Right.
Ah, so most people are just going to wait for the Microsoft version anyway.
Yep. As far as exclusives go, the Sony didn't really have too much to offer. They have a game called Dreams, which is you making your own game, so it's kind of lazy on their behalf. We got a new Final Fantasy Worlds. I don't really know how to describe it. It wants to be like Final Fantasy, but it wants to be like an open action RPG like Kingdom Hearts. And
okay.
It looks pretty. It looks like a kid's game that plays like an adult game.
I love Final Fantasy, so...
Yeah, and Kingdom Hearts. I played Kingdom Hearts 1. We never got a chance to play Kingdom Hearts 2 because we switched to the Xbox. But it was fun. I mean, it was awesome because the original Kingdom Hearts was basically a mix of Final Fantasy with Disney characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It was just fun to play.
I played the first one a little bit. Yeah. I never even got to the end. I have gaming ADD. I can't finish a game.
That's why I still haven't beat... where'd she go? Turn around, Vicky's out there. But no, I'm still working on BioShock 2.
Yeah.
So, and I have Infinite sitting on my computer on my Xbox now, just waiting to play it.
Those are pretty good games to wait for. I mean, Infinity is the end of the BioShock universe, so you just get to it whenever you can. The two main things that stuck out for me for Sony was Skullgirl's second encore coming to all their systems. I don't know why they're going to put a fighting game on the Vita. It's way too small to control. Mm-hmm. And Street Fighter V is coming to the PlayStation 4, and I really want it.
Oh, that's cool.
But gotta get an Xbox first.
Yeah. But is PS Vita still out there? Still getting stuff out
for
it?
Yeah, they're still making games for it. It still exists. I don't know how, but it still exists.
Hmm. Okay. So you said the Nintendo was hiding in the corner somewhere, not doing much. Did they announce anything that was worth hearing?
They're making a new Star Fox, but it's all the old ideas Miyamoto wanted to use for Star Fox 2 that never got released. It's Star Fox 64 with a few new features with a fresh coat of paint. That's all I see from it.
Okay. Anything else coming from them? Anything else coming out of Nintendo?
Fire Emblem is getting... two new games in America. It's the same version. You just pick a different family and the branching storylines. And for the first time in forever, you can have same-sex marriages in Final Fantasy games.
Oh, okay. Nice. Okay. All right.
That kind of ties into recent world news.
Yeah.
Mario & Luigi Paper Jam is the only true game I'm looking forward to because it's the Paper Mario RPG style with the Mario and Luigi art style mashed together.
Okay.
That sounds fantastic.
Other than that, Nintendo's just... they know the Wii U is dying. It's on its last legs. They're just getting all the good games out for it, and then they're going to release the Nintendo NX next year, hopefully.
You know, it's odd because they got so much out of the Wii, and you would think that they would have done more with the Wii U, and the Wii U's only been around, what, 2 years?
Yeah.
I mean, the Wii was... I mean, they ran the Wii for, what, 4 or 5 years almost?
Before it came out with the next, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was really new when it came out. Like, it was the whole concept of the Wii and having the motion sensors for a home system was new.
Exactly.
And it was a bigger deal.
That's true.
This is something they will never put on record, but the Wii U was basically a test system to see how people would react to the tablet. And because reactions were bad and no one can develop for it, they were just, all right, we're going to scrap it and work on something else.
Mm, there you go.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, and Xenoblade Chronicles X comes out in 6 months, and I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I heard in general, just like watching the general E3 news, that people basically put down Nintendo for everything. Like they said, out of everyone that had news from E3, that Nintendo was kind of at the bottom of the list.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
and Ubisoft, they did something. I have no idea what. Because everyone, if it wasn't Assassin's Creed, no one cared about it. That's what Ubisoft did.
Okay.
Well, I have one thing to say about E3, because I don't follow video games hugely, but I followed some of the news. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I saw come out was that they made a big deal out of the fact that there were a lot more really cool, playable female characters coming out in
23 games this time.
Okay.
Have cool female characters from... There's a Mass Effect game.
Andromeda? I think it's called...
Mm-hmm. Mass Effect Andromeda?
Yeah.
And Rise of the Tomb Raider, so there's another Tomb Raider game.
Yeah, I heard about that. Now, did you know anything about that one, Cameron?
Oh, yeah. I was... Me and my cousin were just kind of bouncing around. Like, we're getting a good Tomb Raider game for once, because the first one was good, but... It was very unpolished.
See, I liked the re-release of just Tomb Raider, the newest one that came out like 2 years ago. I loved that game because it actually had a totally different feel than the way Tomb Raider. I mean, it felt more like the original, but it had your interface system, the whole thing of having to use a bow and arrow for some of the game. Mm-hmm. A lot of things in it were it felt a lot like they had updated the stuff they needed to update.
But for hardcore fans, it didn't quite hit the mark. They were upset that she was like 15, I want to say.
Well, yeah, but
yeah,
going into it.
It sounded like people liked the gameplay, but not the story.
Okay. Yeah, the story, it was a little lackluster, but it was more of a setup for this game.
Yeah. So. Well, that, and I missed the mansion. That's one of the best parts of the Tomb Raider was the mansion tutorial at the beginning.
So you say mansion, I think Resident Evil.
Strong female characters are actually wearing full clothes?
Yeah.
And how many of them have stupidly big cleavage?
Right.
Hey, you gotta say, well, that's one thing. With Lara Croft with Tomb Raider, hers has gotten smaller as the games go on.
She looks like a real person now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and the cool thing is, for fans of The Walking Dead, Michonne is going to have her own game.
What?
I'm stupid excited about that.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not, apparently, what is it, Telltale Games is not going to have a new Walking Dead game until 2016, but there's a Michonne miniseries game.
So is this going to be like their other ones where it's like they release it in chapters, you're basically just playing through a chapter of a story?
That's what it sounds like, I guess.
I didn't know that's what they were calling it, but whatever it is, I'm going to spend money on it because Telltale makes amazing interactive comic books.
Yep. I say, that's pretty much what all of their games are, isn't it? The interactive story like that?
Yeah, and a couple other of the big name kind of games that have female characters this time around. There's an Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Yes.
Ooh, that's going to have a playable female.
What's the time?
I don't have the time on that one.
Because we just left England. It's, the industrial age. I should know this.
It had the right
feel. Yeah, I said last time was Victorian England, and you could actually play as Jacob or his sister Evie.
Yeah.
And at E3, Sony gave a very Evie-heavy trailer.
Oh.
But it didn't, for the little blurb that I have, it doesn't have a time period, so.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Fallout 4 is apparently going to have female characters you can play, and there's a Tom Clancy game.
A Tom Clancy one?
Oh, there are two.
Tom Clancy's The Division.
Okay.
And what's the other one, Cameron? You said there's two Tom Clancy games coming out?
There's Ghost Recon, Wildlands, and Rainbow Six Siege, which is the SWAT-like one, which I'm kind of,
I think the original Rainbow Six back in the day.
We were just reading the description they gave for Tom Clancy's The Division, and, one of the reasons they're talking about it being a female character is because you can choose the gender of your character. Is basically what it comes down to. But it says, and then you can shoot at stuff. Shooty, 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 bang, bang.
So, game for me.
Yeah, right, that's mine too.
But you know what? I think this is great because it means that it doesn't matter. The gender of the character doesn't matter. The skill set...
To the play of the game, exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't affect the play of the game. The skill...
Okay, that's my job. We'll talk.
The skill set is still the same. Mm-hmm. And actually, I like that.
The other game that applies to is Call of Duty Black Ops 3. Because that's another one that has a completely customizable character, including by gender.
And you know what? I like that. I think we need to see more of that. You know, because, it's like, well, if you play as a girl, then, that means that generally female characters are faster, and their strikes may not be as strong,
right?
But they're able to.
And you never get a big gun,
huh?
You never get a big gun.
Yeah, you always get little tiny shooters.
All of the female characters in all the older games and stuff.
Unless it's a Japanese game,
or you get a little gun.
Unless it's a Japanese game,
right?
And then the woman gets like this giant bazooka.
You're like, yeah, but that's because she has. they put all of the designing into the bazooka, not in her clothing. That's why she didn't have very much.
Right.
Exactly. They have a giant bazooka, but very small clothing.
Right. It'd be nice to see clothed female characters with big guns.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, a little change of pace is always good for the game industry. Yeah. Unless you're Nintendo.
So, Cam, was there anything that was truly surprising came out of E3 that you saw?
The fact Square Enix and Platinum Games, I think Platinum's making it. Yeah, they're making a new Nier game. I'd never heard of the series before, but my cousin had a panic attack when he heard that, and I was like, oh, it looks fun. And then, this is the only reason why Square Enix won, besides Kingdom Hearts 3, is we're getting a real Final Fantasy VII remake for the PS4. We got the trailer, and it looks amazing.
Ooh. I know, I'm so excited.
But then again, it's coming out on the Xbox One, so it kind of stole the thunder from
Sony. Wait, what was that? Sorry, Cam, what was that?
The Final Fantasy VII Remake is coming out for PS4 and Xbox One, so Sony couldn't go, we have it on our system only. It's like, oh yeah, that's right, it's going to be on theirs too.
Oh yeah, Vicky, we need to get an Xbox One.
Because I remember when they were doing...
Halo 5's coming out in a couple months.
Oh, yeah.
When they had Sony do the E3 for the PS3, when it wasn't even out yet, and they had Final Fantasy VII footage...
That was just a tech upgraded, demo.
And we're like, man, why don't you come out with that game remastered? And now they did Final Fantasy X, which I didn't mind, because I love that game, too. I don't care if you don't like it. I do. But I really, really wanted Final Fantasy VII.
Well, now we're going
to
get it.
Now I have to go buy a PS4.
Or an Xbox One.
Or an Xbox One.
Oh, that's there right. Oh,
but that game isn't coming out for at least a year or two.
So time.
So I have a year or two to get an Xbox One.
So if somebody was in market for a gaming system...
I mean, it all depends on that depends on a lot of factors. If you have kids, if you live by yourself, if you're married. Because yes. If you have kids... Get him a Wii U.
No kids. No.
Thankfully, this is kid-free.
It's kid-free.
See, that's what we can do. We got Cameron here. He's our game expert at the moment. Yeah. So, have Cam, why don't you see what we can do to find Kylan and Dawn a game system? So, the first question was no kids. So, what's your next question?
How many hours do you work a week?
40-plus.
Full-time jobs.
40-plus. All right.
It depends on what game we're not staying up till 2 in the morning playing games. Put it that way.
On the weekend, it could.
How much are you willing to spend on a game?
Hold on, guys. Okay, next one.
How much are you willing to spend on a game?
On per game.
On per game?
Per game? 50 to 60?
30 to 50.
30-50.
All right. So, for your wife, I'd say get an Xbox One, because with that 1 year of Xbox Live Gold, you get 24 free games, and they can be full price retail games. Like, when I went to my cousin's house the other day, he was like, I got The Evil Within. Like, how much did you pay for it? Came with Xbox Games for Gold. I was like, oh. So yeah. The whole GameFly thing was kind of irrelevant. He's like, yeah, I sent it back today.
Yeah, I got, we have the Xbox 360, and they have the same thing, the games with gold. And I believe last month we got Assassin's Creed Black Flag free.
Oh. How much did you pay for that for the year?
Huh? Xbox Live is 60, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 60 a year, but if you've been with them for, I think, 5+ years, it's 55.
Oh, yeah, ours is 55.
Because we've had Xbox Live for so long, they're just giving us stuff at this point.
Yeah, and then you get two free games every month, and then you actually have a bunch of other games that are discounted.
Okay. That you can rent two free games?
No.
They are yours. That's why you get an Xbox One over PS4, because for PS4, you're just renting the games.
They just saved on your hard drive.
So even if you get rid of Xbox Live...
Yes, they're yours.
You still have... Oh, my
That's why I have BioShock Infinite. BioShock Infinite was one of the free games a couple months ago.
Okay. Now, how much is an Xbox One?
What version do you want? What color do you want?
Where do they start at?
Yeah.
Right now, I think they start at 300 or 350, and they go to 400 and 450, but that's with the 1 terabyte hard drive. You can get a black one for 300, you can get a white one for 300. I know Japan's getting a red and blue one for... two Japanese games they're releasing. They're going to be the same price.
I don't care what color it is.
Color doesn't matter.
Quite honestly, it'll another be one that's going to help you with this. I don't care.
That new Star Wars Battlefront comes out on the Xbox One and PS4.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do they have the Deadpool game on Xbox One?
Yes.
It's coming to Xbox One. As soon as High Moon Studios ports it to the Xbox One, because the whole porting from 360 to One is... That's all done in company. They have to go map these buttons to this, make it look pretty, all right, send it off.
Or that could be one of the games that's backwards compatible, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, they have it on 360, so.
Well, that's what I was talking about, the backwards compatible. That's the studios going, remap these buttons, make it look pretty, all right, put it on the Xbox One. Backwards compatible, dead, okay, we're done.
Okay.
So, see, I'm getting nervous now because, Geek Watch 1 has had a really awesome day with some pretty good news coming, and this is just getting better, and I need to see
that. Kyle's getting his hopes up now.
I got goosebumps right now, y'all.
That's the news. All geeksters listening, that news that he's talking about is coming soon. We'll let you know as soon as we get everything nailed down on it.
Yes.
It's confirmed. They're going to have at least 100 to 200 games by Thanksgiving. That's what they've promised.
And then it's with backwards compatibility also?
Usually.
And whose birthday is in November?
Hey, wait.
Doing a little dance right now.
December.
Huh?
December.
See?
Who just buys stuff then? Because she wants it?
Wait, hold on. We have sponsors.
Maybe. We don't have them yet, but we might. Hey, anybody who's interested in sponsoring us,
we have parents? July, August, Geeksters, do you have parents or family members who own the company? And do they want to be marketed by a growing and very popular podcast? Tell them about Geek Watch 1. Your mama and your daddy. Well, thank you.
Can we do an E3 wrap-up, please?
This public service announcement brought to you by Kylan and Ken.
Word to your mother.
Okay, you've done a good job of convincing us on the
Xbox. I think you've sold an Xbox One possibly here, Cameron.
Good job.
And you just secured your position as our video game correspondent.
That's what we're talking. We'll talk to you about that off air, Cam.
All right.
Once we're done here. But did you have anything else on E3, or did we cover most of the bases on what you had?
That's pretty much it. Nintendo's off in the corner. Sony's fighting with Microsoft, and Square Enix is making all the money in the world.
Sony 3
is going to get made.
Sony's having a hard time, period, right now.
Mm. Well,
they pulled out of San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, they pulled out of San Diego.
Press stuff, yeah.
Wow.
They're claiming it's because they don't have a lot of movies to pimp, but...
I think everybody, it seems like so far from Comic-Con news, it seems like everybody's afraid of what DC Comics is putting out there for their movie stuff. And everybody else is pulling out because they don't want to fight with the news coming out of DC.
Sony and Paramount pulled out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like I said, it looks like everybody's afraid of what DC's going to drop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if DC's going to drop as well as everybody thinks it is.
I don't know.
I think the buildup is just going to be too big.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think. I think what it is it's everything's building up huge, and it's not going to be as big as they think it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Cameron, thanks for joining us tonight. I think we need to start getting ready to wrap up here, guys, because we've been going for a while. This is going to be a little bit bigger episode than normal, so... Okay, Cam, well, I want to thank you guys for joining us. If anybody wanted to get a hold of you, now, tell a little bit of what you do, why we had you on the show here. I know you guys have a YouTube channel and a podcast of some sort. Let us know what is all that about.
Oh, yeah, me and my friends, we do a Let's Play channel over on YouTube. It's youtube.com/otakuparadise. The podcast kind of died off because our microphones broke, except for mine, and we're trying to get a new one, but... No one has a job besides one of us, so we kind of have a Twitter. I have a Twitter, but it's my own personal Twitter
because
I couldn't link it to Facebook. But we're YouTube. We are YouTube. That's all I can say right
so,
now.
So give us that channel again, real quick.
It's youtube.com/otakuparadise.
Okay, then if someone, you said you have a personal Twitter and Facebook, how do they get a hold of you there?
Twitter.com/CameraInc. Camera with a K.
Okay.
Because my mom wanted you to be special.
Spell that out real quick so everybody can get it.
K-A-M-E-E-A. Wait, I'm not just my own. I'm just my own Twitter.
Can't do it.
You say
K-A-M-E-R-A-I-N-K.
Okay. Then, Jesse, thank you for coming on and giving us the Colossal Con information. So how to get a hold of you?
Facebook.
Okay. What is your Facebook?
Actually, my Facebook is
pretty well hidden right okay. now. So you can get a hold of me through GeekWatch One.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm good friends with these guys here.
Well, everybody knows how to get a hold of GeekWatch One. We'll give it to you all the information again once we get here to the end of the show. But thank you for coming on and talking Colossal Con with us. And actually, little secret, guys. We're going to have Jesse's going to be coming back with us here in a couple of weeks, and you'll there's more information coming about that. Yeah. But we also had Andy here with us, and we keep putting all of his information up on the site. Anybody wants to get a hold of him, also if you go to geekwatch1.com and go to our sponsors page, you'll see the link for Motherwaith Creations, and you can get through to Andy through there. Also, before we wrap up all the way, we have some big news. We've told you guys about this Doctor Who Dark Journeys. Mm-hmm. It's a mix of Doctor Who and Sherlock Holmes. They're on Series 2 right now, and Episode 5 of Dark Journeys is going to be a special edition issue of Geek Watch 1. It's going to be on Saturday, July 11th. We're releasing this. We're going to have, we're going to play Issue 5, or Episode 5 of Dark Journeys. And then afterwards, the big announcement is we're going to have a Doctor Who roundtable discussion of the episode and the series in general with three expert Whovians. We'll let you guys know what that is, or who they are, as soon as we get actually on the show and get everything confirmed. But we will have a roundtable discussion of the show as soon as the show is over. So join us for that. That'll be a special Geek Watch 1 on Saturday, July 11th. But we're still having our regularly scheduled shows all happening. So this is a bonus for everybody listening to it. If you want to get a hold of us, we are at www.geekwatch1.com. You can listen, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes and Stitcher. Look for Geek Watch 1. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Kylan and Ken. Our email is kylanandken@gmail.com. So, as we wrap up, Dawn, do you have any more information for us?
Nothing for this week.
Kylan, you have anything else?
No, but I am on Mighty Marvel Geeks, and so you can check us out on, I believe it's Sorcerer Radio, and also Bring Brownies.
Okay, and Vicky, do you have anything else for us today?
I'll behave.
Okay. So, for Dawn, for Kylan, for Vicky, for Jesse and Cameron and Andy, I'm Ken, and remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
Doctor Who is going on a journey, a dark journey.
The Illuminata ceremony has already started. The followers, the Bonesmen, are stripped of flesh.
Stripped of flesh? They don't die?
Reduced to bone and the pure faith that they will be reborn. How many men have such strong a faith? It's almost beautiful.
Pure evil. So powerful. I can't fathom it.
Then the approaching Illuminatus locks onto a source, a victim. Someone terrified beyond all hope. Powerful emotional state.
Emily?
Yes, Emily.
The Doctor. Do you think he loved you? We watched you on the roof with him.
Watch.
He told me he would protect me.
He didn't. He failed you.
And why would he protect you? Do you think he loved you? No. I don't know what you mean. Stop it. You are not worthy of his love. He died for you.
You murdered him.
It was his destiny.
He wouldn't die for you.
I would die for him. He might just have to, bitch. Anthony! I'm here. Mommy's here. Don't cry. Anthony, where are you?
My God, Emily. She'll be terrified.
Yes, a powerful emotional state.
Pure terror, horrifying, twisted. It feeds from fear and hope.
Jesus.
Where are you? I'm here for you. It's fine. I'm here. Anthony!
Do you hear your child screaming?
Oh, God, no! Where are you? No! Get back!
Do not understand all I have become.
Get back! Get back! Keep away!
I am a god to you. It tied me to suffer your guidance, but soon your trespassing against me will stop. This travesty will pass.
No! No, stop it! You bastard!
Soon it will stop. Soon it will stop. With blood.
My bonesmen, followers of the Whispers
Why
throughout the years,
doing this?
Loyal to the calling.
Why are you
they
doing
are coming.
This?
We are
reborn. We are reborn. No! No! No!
They are coming.